Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, King Julian. I'm joined by Vince, Max, and Sean. They will be put on in a sec. But first, we just want to let you know that today our chat room is open. If you have anything you want to put in there, then just go ahead and put a comment there. Also, you can email the show by contacting kingjulian21@hotmail.com. You can also follow us at Twitter, on Twitter at SKBT Radio. We recently created a Facebook page, so you can like us on there as well. Let's get started here. Today we are going to be talking about the upcoming college basketball season with our experts here. First off, with Vince. Vince, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Buck?
Yeah, so we got a special show today here. Our other people should be calling in just about a sec. Vince, let's get to hear a little bit about yourself. We know that you're from NBC Sports and some other things. So let's go ahead and hear a little bit about you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was I joined NBC Sports Network this year as the college basketball insider, and I also do a lot of work with the Big East Network in terms of all the Big East college basketball games, in terms of in-league play for sideline. Out of Providence, Rhode Island, which is obviously the headquarters for the Big East Conference in terms of men's basketball. I host Ed Cooley's Coaches Show, the head coach of PC. Do a lot of work with the Atlantic 10 Network and Danny Hurley, the head coach of University of Rhode Island. Do some work for Yahoo Sports Radio, WFAN Sports Radio, ESPN3 as a color analyst in terms of covering the MAC conference, and do a recruiting show down here in the Northeast metropolitan area for Mike Quick and MSG Varsity Television as well. And then prior to getting into the world of media, was 8 years as an assistant coach for Fairleigh Dickinson, Rutgers, and Iona College. So college hoops is where it's at, and it's what I love.
That's great. So I got to ask you, but are you very excited for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a unique year, only because I think you're going to this year I think this year is unique in the sense that you're going to see a lot of very, very good basketball. I don't think you're going to see one dominant great player or one dominant great team. I think it's going to be different. I think last year we tried to get our feet wet into it. We tried to follow multiple teams. We tried to become engulfed in the world of March Madness, if you will. But at the end of the day, I think in the back of all of our minds, or at least for those who covered the college basketball season extremely close last year, we all knew Anthony Davis, John Calipari, and the Kentucky Wildcats were going to come out on top. Now, this year, I think just because of when you look at Kentucky on paper, you know, you cannot not count them at the top. I mean, listen, I mean, you look back on when they lost six players to the NBA and they reloaded and then they lost three players to the NBA and, you know, but they still won the national title even after they lost Brandon Knight. So I think that when you look at the last year or two, you got to put Kentucky at the top, but I think on paper, many believe the Indiana Hoosiers are the best team. Indiana lost to Kentucky in the Sweet 16, and they returned four starters and bring in a top 10 recruiting class. So, you know, at the top, I think Kentucky and Indiana are a coin toss. But when you look at the other teams who, you know, we're all putting in the top 10, Michigan, North Carolina State, you know, these are not teams that, as you know, we were talking about 2-3 years ago. So I think there's going to be a lot of surprise, and I think there's a dozen teams that could win the national title.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you had to name a few favorites of yours, then who would it be?
Well, I think that obviously you need to, you know, you need to look at Kentucky. I think Kentucky, as long as John Calipari, as long as he's still bringing in guys, is going to be a favorite. I think that Indiana should be the preseason number one or two, no matter where you look at the polls. I mean, this is a basketball team who Tom Crean's done a tremendous job rebuilding the basketball program there. You know, this is a team that, you know, as we just said, they lost in the Sweet 16 to Calipari, and they returned four starters from that team. He had one of the best recruiting classes in the nation. So you need to look at the Hoosiers. I think that Louisville is a team you need to look at. You know, obviously, I think it's a little bit of a down Big East year. I don't think you're getting a stunner year out of Pitt or out of Villanova or some of the other programs who were used to succeeding at the top nationally in the Big East. But Rick Pitino has as good as a program as you're going to see in the nation, and it's because he has a point guard in Peyton Siva who could play with anyone in the country, and Gorgui Dang inside showed that he's not just a role player from overseas anymore. He could play with any frontline guy in the league. So, you know, those are the top teams that I look at. John Beilein has a terrific team at Indiana, but my sleeper team this year, guys, is North Carolina State out of the ACC.
Yeah, you know, like you said, Indiana is supposed to be a very top team, especially with Cody Zeller. I mean, you know, I got to ask you, what are your thoughts on Cody Zeller going into the season?
Well, here's the scary part about Cody Zeller is that you know, I was with NBC Sports. I was out at the Combine in Chicago last June. And here's the scary part about Cody Zeller. It's a great thing if you're an Indiana Hoosier fan, but a scary thing if you're particularly a Big Ten opponent or other, you know, opponent in college basketball against Indiana and Crean this year, is that Cody Zeller could have left after his freshman year. And he easily could have been a first-round draft pick. So now you go into the sophomore year, the second year that Cody Zeller is playing college basketball. He's right there for preseason player of the year. At the end of the year, he's going to be right there for first-team All-American. And the reason why I say it's the scary part is because Tom Crean has told all of his close associates these past 2 months that this is the most improved player on his basketball team. So when you're talking about a guy who is one of the best freshmen in the country, is a skilled, fundamental, frontline guy, which you don't see a lot of those in this guard-oriented game, and your head coach is saying that you're one of the most improved guys on that team, I mean, that's scary. And that is a big reason, I think, why a lot of people are going to have Indiana playing in the Final Four in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, North Carolina, I know they've had a few departures over recent time. Hang on there, Vince, because we just got a caller here. I'm going to put him on the air. Max, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how's it going, Max? We are just talking here about college basketball. So we want to ask you, who would you pick as your favorite right now in college basketball?
You know, everyone's getting overwhelmed by what happened with Kentucky and assuming that now the freshmen are going to rule the entire nation. But I think that the veteran players are going to rise up this year, and I think Indiana has to be the favorite. You got a guy like Christian Watford, who is proven capable of really shining when the game is on the line. You've got a Cody Zeller and a Jordan Lulz, and I think the X factor is really Coach Tom Crean. I mean, he teaches tough, hard-nosed basketball, and when it comes down to the tournament, as long as the free throws are falling, I don't think there's really anyone who could really overmatch them.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I do not disagree with Max. I think that, you know, like I said a few minutes ago, I think Kentucky and Indiana is a coin toss. I think that when you talk about John Calipari and Tom Crean, both of them, you're talking about the top five or six head coaches in the league. You know, the way maybe I look at it a little bit different than Max is, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I probably would have said the veterans will win out, but I think that, you know, John Calipari and some of these other guys with the way that they've built and the way the world at college basketball has changed the last couple of years, I don't know 100% if you do need veterans to win. I think you need the most talent. I agree with Max in the fact that we can't expect John Calipari in Kentucky to win it every year because he always gets the best recruits and he always has the top freshman, but I think that he has reloaded. I think that his talent is for real. But, you know, listen, Max is right on, and that's why I keep going back and forth between Kentucky and Indiana. When you talk about Tom Crean's ball club, the fact that he returned 4 starters from that Sweet 16 team, you know, and Zeller, and he's been there before, you know, I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody if the Hoosiers make it to the final weekend in the month of March.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree completely. I think the third team that I would like to throw in there with Kentucky and Indiana, though, is UCLA. They've had a pretty stellar recruiting class themselves with Shabazz Muhammad and Kyle Anderson, amongst others. And you also have another great coach in Ben Howland there. And obviously, we won't know anything until we see the tournament draw because that could change the entire picture. But really, I mean, as you said, it's Kentucky and Indiana on top, and UCLA seems like the only team that's really in their class at this point. Everyone else is just, they might have reloaded or they might have brought back a few starters, but at least on paper, until we see them play, there's no one else that really blows you away.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the majority of the teams in the country and you're talking about who your preseason first-team All-Americans are going to be, I think you have to have Zeller in there. But I think how could you not have Doug McDermott from Creighton and Isaiah Cannon from Murray State in there? I mean, and these are guys who, you know, in the big scheme of things, you know, would be considered mid-majors. And, you know, you have your Trey Burks from Michigan, Deshaun Thomas is from Ohio State. But I agree. I mean, there's no Anthony Davis in this, you know, 2012-2013 class. I think UCLA is interesting in the fact that, you know, they've had to deal with this, with the NCAA investigations this fall, and of the freshmen, Shabazz Muhammad and Kyle Anderson, and, you know, and that's going to be a constant for Ben Howland. I think, you know, I mean, I talk about UCLA and Ben Howland and NCAA the way I talk about the New York Yankees and A-Rod. I mean, that's going to be a constant distraction that they're going to have to deal with, because, and then John Calipari in Kentucky to a point too, but, you know, I think in the end they're going to wind up playing for the Bruins. I just think it's something that Howland's going to have to deal with. I think the other thing you need to keep your eye on is David Ware, who is UCLA's second leading returning scorer. He sprained his ankle pretty rough this past weekend, they're saying. So, you know, maybe he's just out a couple of weeks. But, you know, I think UCLA is going to be one of those teams you cannot panic if they drop out of the top 10 in November or December. I think in January and February, especially in that Pac-12, how weak it's gotten, they're going to be okay.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point, because if you really look at the Pac-12,
yep,
aside from Arizona, there's really no other team that, again, on paper, there's no other team that really looks like they're going to compete for the crown. And that leaves,
Absolutely.
Leaves a hole,
I mean,
right there just to get in as a conference champion. Even if they have a terrible record, you get in with that kind of talent. And as we saw with Butler, seed really doesn't matter anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm talking to guys. I'm at Big East Media Day last week, guys, and you know, I'm talking to the guys that are being picked, you know, middle of the pack in the Big East. You know, obviously, Patino, Boeheim, those guys are at the top, Mike Bray, Notre Dame, Mick Cronin, Cincinnati. But, you know, you're talking to guys like Jamie Dixon at Pitt, or Jay Wright at Villanova, or Stan Heath at South Florida, the good job he's done, and these guys are almost laughing. They're like, listen, if I was in the Pac-12, this would not even be an issue right now. I would be a preseason NCAA tournament team. So who you play against throughout January and February definitely is a factor.
Yeah, and to me, that's why I think the dark horse of the year has to be UNLV. I mean, who are they really playing in the Mountain West? You have a San Diego State, but that really doesn't strike much fear into me when you think about the recruiting class that they had with a guy like Anthony Bennett, and then you look at a guy like Mike Moser. They're stocked up on talent. So you look at some of these teams from the smaller conferences, not necessarily smaller, but the weaker conferences, and they really appear to be the teams to watch for in terms of who can get a first seed.
I agree. I mean, you look at the AP preseason top 25, and you're right. You know UNLV's 23rd, but when you look at talent, I think they're better than number 21 San Diego State. I think they're better than number 19 Gonzaga. I think they're better than number 17 Creighton. I think we get a little carried away when a team has an unbelievable player. Memphis is very talented, but I think that their experience wins out at number 16 Memphis. So, you know, here you have UNLV starting at number 23. But if you told me that, you know, late around the Super Bowl, late January, early February, that UNLV was ranked in the teens, you know, top 15 in the country, I would not be surprised at all.
Absolutely. I mean, really, I mean, you look up and, as you said, look up and down the top 25, and the great teams are just so far and far in between. And
yep.
even when you get impressed by a team and you look down their schedule, I mean,
you look at a Murray State who predominantly across the board is sneaking into most people's top 25. So most people have them 24, 25 or just receiving votes. At the end of the day, this is because of Isaiah Cannon. So, and as we all know in this world of college basketball, VCU has shown it, you need multiple guys playing well at the same time. Isaiah Cannon could, you know, put up astronomical numbers if Murray State's not on the same page as a team. You know, they have one or two bad losses, they're not going to be in the top 25. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's still only late October, and I think that you only need to look at the top, you know, 5 to 10 teams. I think 10 through 25 right now is such a coin toss. You don't know who's going to shake out where.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's hitting the nail on the head. I just think, you know, this year, I think more than any other year in college basketball, it's kind of been this way to me since the whole Florida and UNC when they had their reigns of dominance. Since then, it's just really been balanced across the board. And you had Kentucky last season, but predominantly you find that there is no true favorite emerging. And when you have a Kemba Walker leading the way, you know, you realize that really anything can happen now because these stellar recruiting classes, quite frankly, they're not panning out as we expect.
That's right. And what you're showing is that, you know, recruiting classes are good for guys freshman and sophomore years, but by the time guys become juniors and seniors, you never know how teams are going to shake out. And, you know, you have your North Carolinas, you have your Dukes, you have your Kentuckys, you have your UCLAs, as we all know. But then every high major league has one or two surprise teams, like NC State, for example, one of my sleepers. A couple of years ago, Sidney Lowe was in the dungeon. No one talked about the Wolfpack. Now, all of a sudden, Mark Godfrey gets there. He has them rolling. They're a Sweet 16 team. They're a preseason top 10 team. C.J. Leslie is the ACC Player of the Year. NC State's picked to win the ACC. I mean, when was the last time you looked at an ACC poll and you didn't have Duke or North Carolina as the preseason number one? We have the Wolfpack. And then you look at the Big East. Yeah, we know Patino, we know Boeheim, we know Calhoun, we know these other good teams throughout the years. But now you have Nick Cronin in Cincinnati, who I think are going to be a consistent top 25 ball club. So if every high major league emerges with one or two more contenders, you know, then that's just going to add more numbers to the game. It's going to add more guys trying to fight into the top 25, and it's going to make trying to figure out March Madness that more of a challenge.
I mean, I agree entirely, everything. I can't stress enough, you just look at every major conference and there's really no standout team. And you have your top two, top three in the nation. But even there, you know, you look at a guy like Ryan Harrow, who's expected to run the point for Kentucky. I hear a lot of clamor about this guy's going to be a star, but, you know, he kind of underwhelmed at North Carolina State. I'm not saying he's not going to be a great player, but you look at all these players and you assume, oh, well, you know, now they're just going to replicate the success of last year. They're just going to do it all over again. What everyone's forgetting about last year's team is they had arguably their best player down the stretch of the NCAA tournament was Terrence Jones.
Yep.
And every time they needed a big shot, a big play on defense, it wasn't just Anthony Davis and Kid Gilchrist, it was Jones.
And you know what, you just, not to cut you off, but you just brought up a great point there. I think that, you know, not to downplay, you know, the preseason analysis, because, I mean, obviously that's what we're doing right now, but you need to get several weeks. You need to get a month or two under the season. You need to see how guys perform, because in the end, when it comes down to February and March, it's who makes plays. It's what guys emerge individually. As much as we want to talk about this, and it is the greatest thing in sports, March Madness, and it is the greatest team game, but eventually guys are going to emerge and guys are going to surprise us. And you know what? We're not always right on who we think on paper or position by position or matchup by matchup should, you know, emerge as the top teams or as the top guys within each conference, within each league. I think back to Duke a few years ago, you know, the greatest move Coach K made was when he took John Shire off the point and made him more of the off guard. You know, what adjustments are made by the top teams in the country, by the top coaches in the country, and that's what we're going to see. You know, listen, everything's great in the world of NC State and the Wolfpack right now, but when we get seven or eight games into conference play, you know, what's going on between them, between Duke, between North Carolina, you know, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, to me, that's why I'm so excited this year for Big Ten basketball. I think that this is the year that some people said last year was, but to me, when you look at the NCAA success outside of Ohio State, the tournament success, I mean, there wasn't much of a resurgence. To me, this year is the year where the Big Ten bounces back.
I agree. I think that
there are just so many strong teams.
I think that Minnesota has been way too quiet since Tubby Smith has been there. I think you're going to see Minnesota back as a solid, knocking on the door, top 25 team. Wisconsin, you cannot bet it. As long as Wisconsin is in the Big Ten, you cannot bet against them. And then I agree. I mean, you have your staples. You know, UCLA is going to be terrific. And obviously we know everything that's behind John Beilein in Michigan right now. But how could you ever, you know, you talk to John Beilein and the Michigan staff. They're like, how could, like, what? March Madness? Are you kidding me? Like, you know, we're definitely afraid of, you know, the first time we have to face Tom Izzo and the Spartans. So
yeah.
I agree. I think the Big Ten is going to be from top to bottom fantastic this year.
And I think the thing that's exciting me the most is, for me, just as a fan, an analyst, whatever you want to cut it, to me, I miss the days of the great point guards in college basketball. And I think that's
yeah.
what the Big Ten is bringing back with a guy like Trey Burke, with a guy like Aaron Kraft. And to me, that's what's going to be the key to the NCAA tournament this year. You saw the scoring guards with Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lamb, and you saw the interior players with Kentucky. But this year, I think what's really going to set teams apart is how well are your point guards playing. And that's why I think for Kentucky to find success, it's really about Ryan Harrow. For UCLA, it's going to be about Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
And if a team like Michigan can get rolling with Trey Burke, they just have so much depth. They have so many shooters. They have freshmen like Glenn Robinson
well,
the third.
And that's the thing. I mean, so many times we've seen teams that have a good point guard but not surrounded by anybody, and teams are allowed to get away with double teams the entire second half and trap the pick and roll and make that guy throw to the stiffs on his team. It's when a great point guard could be surrounded by weapons. And you're right. I mean, you're going to see it more on display with Trey Burke in Michigan because it's the Big Ten, because less teams play zone, because teams aren't throwing junk defenses out there the way we do more on the East Coast and the Big East and A-10 and ACC. You know, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, nobody has their ball and nobody has the ball in their hands more than the point guard, and that's the guy that can make the most plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. To me, that's exactly why I think Michigan is the type of team that could really, if any team can emerge as the favorite midseason, I think it would be Michigan. I think you have a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. who's going to be a junior this year.
Yeah.
You have a guy like Burke who's a sophomore, and you have a bunch of freshmen. But most importantly, you have so many shooters on the team. You got Mitch McGarry on the team who can rebound, who can crash the boards and play good interior defense. And
I'll tell you, and they shoot it extremely well, and they got one of the best X and O coaches in the country in Beilein. And they have secondary defenses, meaning when the man-to-man's not working, they have the 1-3-1 or the 2-3 to go to. But I'll tell you what, do not sleep on Ohio State, because as we all know, Thad Matta's teams pound the boards. Beilein's teams are notorious for being one of the worst rebounding teams in the Big Ten every single year. And when it comes down to nitty-gritty big-time conference games the last week or two of February, you know, you could easily see Ohio State and Michigan there battling it out. And we could talk that about two or three other leagues right now. I just think the parity is off the charts, and I think it's going to be a great year for college basketball.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, on the polar end of Michigan, who I think is going to rise up, I think the team that will fall and then rise in the NCAA tournament has to be Louisville. USA Today has them second overall. And to me, I love Pitino as a coach. I love Steve as a point guard. But to me, they're the kind of team that during the regular season, conference play specifically, they'll be one of the top 25 teams, but they're going to be a 10-loss team. That's just the makeup of who they are. What's great about them is when you start to sleep on the team is when they play their best.
Yeah.
And we saw last year against Kentucky. They played a great game against Kentucky.
Yeah,
but
you need to realize this. If that team was in the Big 12, or if that team was in the Pac-12, or if that team was in the Atlantic 10, I mean, we wouldn't be saying that about them right now. I mean, it's because even with all of the defunct and all of the craziness that's going on in the world of college basketball, I mean, you know, the Big East, you can't, I mean, you look at Cincinnati. The fact that Cincinnati wasn't ranked preseason top 25 is a joke, because if you're top four in the Big East, you should be ranked top 25. Louisville, these teams, they beat up on each other. You have to give every single Big East the benefit of the doubt that they're going to get an extra 3-4 losses that other teams, meaning nationally ranked top 25 teams, are not going to have. I mean, I was doing work for the Big East Network last year. Louisville lost by 27 points at Providence, and Providence came in 14th or 15th place in the Big East. And then you have Louisville goes on to win in the Final Four. I mean, you have Seton Hall, who, you know, second week of January was top 25 in the country. They were 24th. And then 7 weeks later, first week of March, they can't get out of the second round of the NIT. I mean, and because it's such a hard gauge in the Big East to say, okay, who really are our top 8 teams and who are our bottom 8 teams? Because, all right, you got to look at non-conference opponents. You got to look at big wins. But at the end of the day, these guys are all beating up on each other. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think some of these teams, you got to just hope that you get past that bubble and you can make a noise in March. And listen, you talk to these head coaches in the Big East, which I did at Big East Media Day, these guys love playing people outside of the Big East. They hate the battles in league because everybody knows each other so well.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that they lost Crowder, they lost Johnson Odom, they lost almost everything Marquette. But look at their early season schedule. They open up at home, or not home, it's neutral, but neutral site against Ohio State. They're home for Wisconsin. They're home for LSU. And, you know, you look right there, that's a resume in its own right. If you can knock off Ohio State, Florida, and Wisconsin before you even get to Big East play, you're talking about this underdog Marquette team potentially competing for as high as a 2 or 3 seed if they have a good enough conference schedule.
I agree. And listen, when you're going to surprise a team in college basketball, you're going to surprise them in November or early December. And that's just historically the way it goes. You see a lot of wacky games. As you know, you see a lot of wacky final scores. Oh, can you believe that team beat this team and then they came in this place? But that's the world of college basketball. I mean, I'm going to practices now. I've seen about 13, 14 Division I teams practice live since October 12th when practice is open. Everyone's working on their man-to-man defense. Everyone's working on their playbook and their man-to-man sets. But you know what happens? November 10th, when the season starts live, you know, teams throw zones in. And, you know, everyone's out of whack. And, oh, my God, you know, we have 19 plays but only one zone offense. And oh, man, we're not ready to shoot the ball yet. We're on the road in Puerto Rico in a tournament, and we're 2,000 miles away from home. And that's when you see teams get upset. And like a Marquette's one of those teams, you know, they may get tremendous non-conference wins in November and December, but they may only finish 7th, 8th, or 9th in the Big East this year. I think that's just the wacky way where at the end, if you lose one or two pros, you have to make it up in this world in other ways.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I agree. And I think that the one thing that's going to look very good for a team like Marquette, just on the topic, if they can pull off those wins, you could talk about a 500 record in the Big East and still be higher than an 8 seed. Look at the incoming freshmen to some of the smaller schools. You look at a guy like Christian Opek, who's going to St. John's. You look at the class that Villanova brought in, the class that a team like Connecticut brought in. These kids, they're not getting the names that you may know, but they're getting so many players from the ESPN 100, from Rivals 100, from Rivals 250, all these kids that are going to contribute now, and you're saying, wow, this is looking impressive. But what's hidden in the Big East is you look at the depth that they already had. And I think that's the difference between the Big East and every other conference, in the sense that if you don't pan out in the first 2 years in another conference, you're almost written off and you're never going to be anything. The Big East, you'll have some guys who are junior year, senior year, first breaking out, and suddenly you're NBA prospects.
That's right. And listen, you brought up the perfect school and name, and that's Villanova. You know, when you look back at 09, Villanova, that's not a team that finished first in the Big East. That's not a team that made it to Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. I'm not even certain positive right now that they meet at the Friday night, the night of the semifinals at Madison Square Garden. Yet Jay Wright leads his team to the Final Four in Detroit that year. And and that's the thing, is that you almost have to take your lumps. It's almost like the Major League Baseball analogy of a few years ago, to where, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox had to beat up on each other in the American League East to eventually then get to postseason play. It's not like that right now, obviously. But, you know, I think that that's a big part of college basketball this year, is that you cannot look at overall records. You cannot look at, you know, and we get caught up in that sometimes. We get caught up in the fact that, for example, and here's the biggest thing with getting caught up in stuff, and I'm the biggest VCU and Shaka Smart and mid-major fan in the world, but I think that VCU's in for a rude awakening this year. I think that we get caught up too much into what teams do on a couple of days in March, and, you know, they're not going to step in and finish as one of the top teams in the Atlantic 10. You know, when they go through that conference play and they see who they're playing from top to bottom, there's no more Townsend States on the schedule. There's no more James Madison's on the schedule. There's no more, you know, when you realize, like, oh, man, we got to go play Dayton. We got to go play Temple. We got to go play Xavier. We got to go play. And I'm not taking away, I'm not saying that they can't make noise at the end of the year, but I'm just saying that who your competition is and who you're battling on a night-in, night-out basis has to count for something in the world of college hoops these days, because the conferences are too different.
Yeah, I think what's really going to hold VCU back, I agree. I don't think they're going to make the tournament. I really don't. They have a few nice games, non-conference. You know, they have a neutral site game with Memphis. They're home for Alabama. And those are nice, but to me, it's not as if they're entering this conference as just a new team.
No.
They
got preseason pick 4 or 5.
Yeah.
You know, listen,
and
this,
you know what?
They're the target.
They're the top target right now. They are the Butler of this year, in the sense that
And you're
every
talking
team
about a
they
one
play.
Or two bid league in the A-10. The A-10 doesn't get, you know, multiple teams like the Big East. I mean, The Colonial, the league they just left, they've gotten more teams than the Atlantic 10 the last few years.
Yeah, it's true. But and, you know, unfortunately for VCU, you now have a target on your back. You're now the mid-major team that has made it. Now you know what Butler feels like when you say, yeah, you know, we still have enough talent to win traditionally. But when everybody who plays you is saying, yeah, you're the big dog, we want to take you down, it's a whole different ballgame. And especially when you're going to a new conference, nobody in that conference wants to say, well, I know you're new here, but we'll spot you a few wins. No, they're going to want to send a message and say, no, you just made a step up into the Atlantic 10, and we're going to show you what we're all about. And when a team is faced with that kind of burden, a lot of teams crumble. And I think Shaka Smart's a great coach, as you said, but there's just so much talent in that conference.
I agree. And they're like, and, you know, and listen, the people at VCU could get caught up into it, like, and they, as they should be. Hey, listen, we went through a Final Four. We're good. You know, we could battle with the Temples and stuff like that. Okay, the Temples, here's a perfect example of parity. Last year, Seton Hall was a bubble team. Temple kicked the you-know-what out of Seton Hall, you know, early in the season in November. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, lower Big East team to top-tier Atlantic 10 team, there's not going to be a lot of difference there. So when you're coming up from the CAA, you got to expect that much more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, on the topic of mid-major teams, I think that's why this year we're going to see a rise out of a few different teams that you might not expect. I think for me, one of my sleeper picks, a team that I actually think could, I don't think they will, because they do have to play at Syracuse, but I think Detroit could flirt with an undefeated season. I just think Ray McCallum is the Tony Parker of college basketball. He doesn't do one thing especially great, but he's good at everything. And he's a phenomenal leader. They're returning a few of their top scorers, a few of their top rebounders. And quite frankly, I mean, the Horizon League has gotten a lot stronger. I just don't see a team that can really bring them down. And if they can make it past Miami, St. John's, you know, Pitt, and Syracuse, you're talking about, you know, who's really going to bring them down? And
well, no, I agree with you. I mean, listen, when you get the conference play, I think someone's always going to bring you down. I don't think anyone could, you know, go undefeated in these days. I mean, even, I mean, look, the Horizon League's down, but, you know, you look in that league, Gary Waters from Cleveland State still in that league, who always gets big wins every year. But you're right. I mean, listen, I talked to the St. John's staff the other day. That's a game that, I mean, they're playing at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, no less. I have no idea why. Never even heard of that. But, I mean, that's a game that they're scared about losing. And listen, you look across the board with mid-majors. Creighton's terrific again. Murray State's terrific again. You know, Iona. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, listen, I know Scott Machado's with the Houston Rockets and Michael Glover is going to make a lot of money in Europe. But Iona might have more talent this year than they did last year. It's just about chemistry. And they were an at-large team last year. Manhattan, preseason number one in the MAC. You know, Steve Masiello, this team that they're coming back with, you know, a first-teamer, a second-teamer. They press, they run. It's the Pitino style. So, you know, you look across the board and teams just scare you left and right. But I think that, you know, the mid-majors obviously take longer to shake out. But, you know, this I think the theme of this college basketball season is going to be the guessing game. I think that, you know, when usually when you look across the board at the top 5-10 teams in the nation, okay, here are my top 5 or 6 power conferences. Here are the top teams from each league. The problem that we have right now is that each top tier league has 1 or 2 teams that could be a coin toss. So literally 1 could be as good as 12 and 2 could be as good as 11. So, you know, it's going to be a fun season. It's going to be fun to shake out. And I look forward to, you know, staying in touch with you throughout, you know, the college basketball season. Unfortunately, I need to jump right now because I'm about to speak at a basketball event here at 7:30. I need to run in, but I just want to, you know, thank you for having me on. And you know, your stuff is terrific. I think this is terrific, and I look forward to, you know, being able to help you out and contribute and continue to be a part of this moving forward.
Are we there?
Yeah. it was a great show. I mean, you guys just kept on talking. Probably talked more than the presidential debate last night. I mean, but yeah, you stole the breath out of me. But yeah, thanks for coming on. Really appreciated the time with you.
All right, thanks so much. You know, stay in touch, and you know, let me know whenever you want to talk hoops again. There's nothing better.
Oh, yeah. It was great having you on.
Thanks so much.
All right, see ya. Yeah, I also want to thank you, Max. You were great as well. You know, you can, of course, come on anytime you want. I mean, you were absolutely great today.
Thank you. Glad to be on here.
All right. Yep. All right, see ya, Max.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, so that is the conclusion of our show today. It was, I got to say, a really good show. We got to talk a lot about college basketball. I mean, those guys just kept on bringing it. So, yeah, before we go, though, I know we have a little time here. But our fantasy basketball draft is supposed to be this Saturday. So if you are interested, please email me by 8 p.m. of that Saturday if you would like to join. We currently have 10 people in it, so if you would like to join the league, then just let me know. Other than that, I want to say thank you for joining the show. Make sure you follow us at SKBT Radio. We are on this Saturday. We are going to talk about the NFC North and Lindsey Vonn, including the WNBA Finals between Indiana and Minnesota. So I'll talk to you guys then, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.